So Mr. Producer said that I needed to be dialed down. What do you think?
Yes. You're the volume. Your energy is quite lovely, but sometimes the volume.
You are listening to From the Dome to Your Home podcast, the Municipal Association's weekly look at legislative action and issues facing cities and towns around the state. I'm your host, Casey Fields.
Not a boring week, but a slower week.
Slower, yes. Certainly not boring. I would agree.
Not at all.
It's still going on as we're recording this.
Well, yeah, it is still going on a subject that I didn't see coming, honestly.
Part of it's good to end the week on a non-boring side, right?
Yeah, and listen, who knows how long they're going to go today? They've got a lot of business to take care of.
So it's Thursday.
It is Thursday
afternoon
and
early afternoon.
We're still cooking over there.
Well, so it wasn't super busy because the House is on vacation this week.
That's right, furlough.
And the Senate has been conducting its business.
That's correct.
That they are still conducting.
That's correct.
But they are going through a string of points of personal interest right mm-hmm. now.
That's
related
right.
to medical cannabis.
Right. So several weeks ago, A motion was made by the majority leader,
Senator Shane Massey
mm-hmm. from Edgefield, mm-hmm. to place the Compassionate Care Act, which is the new non-revenue raising version of last year's medical marijuana bill.
And that's important because when the bill was passed out of the Senate last year,
that's correct,
and got over to the House, the bill was ruled out of order by the Speaker. Speaker pro tem, Tommy Pope from Clover,
mm-hmm.
as raising revenue. And because it proposed to raise revenue, in his opinion and ruling,
right,
then it was out of order because revenue-generating bills have to originate in the House of Representatives.
So proud of you, Grasshopper.
So, Senator Tom Davis, the primary sponsor and advocate for the Compassionate Care Act,
that's right,
from Beaufort, removed from the current version of the bill the revenue-generating portion. And then, as he explained on the floor just a little while ago, he also perfected a lot of the amendments that the Senate adopted as a part of that bill, and they did so on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
So to the extent that he has cleaned up those amendments and language there,
that's right,
he's done that. But substantively, the bill is the same that was passed, 26-18 last year?
I believe so, yeah.
I believe that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So he got up today, and they're still talking. Individuals are getting up subsequent to his remarks
mm-hmm.
and expressed his extreme frustration to the point of anger
mm-hmm.
that about what happened last week. So I interrupted you.
That's
so
okay. Listen, I'm used to it.
Tell the listener what happened last week and what's precipitated his anger.
Well, the special order vote failed.
There was an effort to put it on special order,
mm-hmm. which is a special place on the calendar
yeah.
for contested bills or any bill
yeah.
that the majority, 2/3 of the majority of the senators think is a priority enough to debate,
right,
to have a special place on the calendar to force debate. and that vote failed.
It was a tie,
21-21.
No, it was 20-20.
20-20.
Yeah.
And it failed. There was another one that a second reading bill failed this week, 21-21.
Yes.
And therefore it did not go on special order and it remains on the calendar in a contested, you know, position.
And I didn't realize that they pulled that bill, the Compassionate Care Act,
out of medical affairs. Because essentially it was the exact same bill as last year, except for the revenue raising.
And tell our listener what polling a bill does.
So in the Senate, your chairman can send around a sheet and ask for a bill to be polled out, and members sign the sheet to indicate their support of a bill being polled out, which means it does not receive a subcommittee or a committee.
Right.
It may receive a subcommittee, but not a full committee hearing,
right,
and it just comes straight to the floor. That is one way, other than unanimous consent,
yeah,
to get a bill on the calendar.
Yeah. So that's what happened. And then to set it for special order, that vote failed because it was tied.
That's right. And so now it's just back on the contested. And so Tom Davis, Senator Davis, stood up today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not real sure why. There was a very extended, a long extended executive session before this happened. Nobody knows what happened in the executive session.
No.
Because they're not supposed to.
We can guess.
Right.
We have a good
guess.
So
then he stood up and was very, very passionate, was very angry, was very frustrated at the bill not moving. And he was kind of starting to point fingers and name some names, kind of without naming some names.
Yeah.
It was getting a little,
it was getting close to personal.
Yeah, it was getting, and I believe so much, it is such a personal issue for him. He has worked on this for so long, and he has gotten to know so many of these families and these patients that are desperate. And he made a really good point at the end of his remarks. He said, you know what? These children, these families that, you know, the patients, but, you know, some children that need medical cannabis to help them with their diagnosis, with their condition.
Mm-hmm.
They are going out and getting it anyway. And he said, what scares me is that the possibility of the cannabis that they get, not from a medical professional, but that they get, could be laced with fentanyl.
Or anything.
Or anything that could bring about, you know, something absolutely tragic.
And of course, the other alternative is opioids.
And let's say this for the for
and we
the,
know what that problem is
for the good of the listener. The reason that we follow this bill, the reason that we are that we track this bill is because of the local zoning on the cannabis shops. Is that correct?
Correct. So the bill as passed last year and as written now leaves the authority to zone the dispensaries,
that's right,
to the local elected officials. Mm-hmm. So cities and counties, city council members, municipal elected officials, and their appointed staff would be able to determine where these dispensaries would be located within their jurisdiction, just like they do with any other business. So that's why we're following that. That was something that we asked Senator Davis however long ago to make sure was included and protected, and he did that. And so we're neutral on it in terms of being for it or against it, because obviously the views of our various members vary themselves. So we as an association are neutral on it so long as that zoning authority is protected.
Scott, when you, you know, we talk about following bills and tracking bills. Mm-hmm. Do you follow directions very well?
I do.
You do?
Yes.
Well,
I do.
I'd like to ask you
Dr. Slatton might quibble with that, but
no doubt.
Yes.
I'd like to ask you a couple of directional trivia questions if I can.
Let me really quickly give a shout out to Simpsonville Mayor Paul Shoemaker.
Okay. What about Mayor Paul?
He informed me last week after listening to the show.
Right. Oh, we have another
listening. I was not quite correct on the locations of the standpipes in South Carolina.
Okay.
I said there was only two. Turns out there's three.
In Waltsboro,
Belton, and Allendale.
Gosh.
I can't remember. I don't know when the last time it was I was in Allendale, but if I don't remember seeing that standpipe, and if I did, I left it off. So there are actually three standpipes. So kudos to Mayor Shoemaker, number one, for making it all the way to the end of the podcast, because that was a long show.
for listening.
Good show last week.
For listening. Really appreciate that, Mayor Paul.
But then also having the guts to stand up and say, Scott, you were wrong.
And if anyone else would like, if anybody else would like to email or call us and let us know that Scott was wrong about something, please feel free to do so.
Listen, that's all people do. Hey, you were wrong about that. You're wrong.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate him pointing that out. That was good to know.
Scott, I'm going to ask you, this is a two-part question. It has two answers. One question, two answers.
Two answers that are both correct.
Right.
Okay.
But are different.
All right.
I would like to know, what is the westernmost and what is the easternmost municipality in South Carolina?
Okay.
think about your...
I think I know that.
Think about your map.
I think I know those.
Think about how you feel about that question.
The map is always in my head. You've watched A Beautiful Mind before?
Yes.
And they have like the... When Russell Crowe is thinking and he's got like the symbols and it's kind of up in the air. That's the map for me. The map is always
in front of me. You're constantly on interstates and back roads
and you can't
rivers
see
and
me,
lakes and streams.
Listener, but I'm waving my arms as if I'm touching a map.
Violently. All right. Westernmost and easternmost municipality.
I think I can get
I'll come
that.
Back and mm-hmm. I think maybe I can get we'll that. Take a caller and see if we can't.
All right.
Get an answer. Mm-hmm. So let's go back real quick and do an update on your hospitality affordable housing bill.
Yeah.
We talked about that last week about how it got out of subcommittee.
Mm-hmm.
This week it was in full Senate Finance Committee. Can you give our listener an update on that bill, please?
It was voted out of the full Senate Finance Committee unanimously.
Okay.
So it was read across the desk in the Senate yesterday, so it'll be eligible for debate on the floor on Tuesday.
Okay.
Which is a good thing. That's great. Happy about that. I would suggest to folks who are interested in using this as a tool in the future to speak to their senators over the weekend and ask those senators to support it by voting for it.
Okay. And the bill is 284. And what does
Senate
it do
bill
exactly?
284. What the bill does is add the development of workforce housing as an allowable expense of state accommodations tax, local accommodations tax, and the hospitality tax.
Okay.
So just add that as something you could spend those funds on. But there were several questions and concerns in the full finance committee to the effect of, well, you know, the rest of the bill, the rest of this law that you're amending is dealing with tourism related expenditures and projects and that kind of thing. Should we consider restricting the development of workforce housing to only either tourism areas or tourism-related employees, right?
Right. Because they were bringing up other professions that a city may want to use.
Well, workforce means a lot of things to a lot of different cities and towns.
Right, that's right.
Public safety workers, that's workforce. People who
teachers.
Work at the hospital, teachers, that's workforce. You know, any number of sanitation workers in cities and towns across the state, any number of people are workforce, number one.
Right.
And number two, all of those folks across the entire state support tourism in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
So tourism is not just a thing on the coast. It's not just a thing
in particular parts of the state.
We all are hosting tourists every day and trying to service their needs. So to kind of push back against that, you know, we want each senator to support voting yes for the bill, but also keeping the bill clean and not amending it to restrict how and when or where those funds could be used to develop workforce housing. So talk to your senators over the weekend and ask them to vote yes on a clean Senate Bill 284.
Also, in a little bit of late breaking news this morning, it was announced that the Comptroller General Richard Ekstrom had submitted his resignation letter.
Effective 30 April.
I guess he read the joint resolution and saw the sponsors on it and realized the path that was taking, maybe.
I guess.
Yeah.
Who knows?
So his resignation, April 30, will trigger a special election?
Yes.
There is a bill in judiciary that would make...
Senate judiciary
that would make the Comptroller General appointed by the governor, like as a cabinet position.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll have to elect a comptroller in the meantime before that bill passes.
Yeah. So they've got to figure out if they can get that bill passed before the primary filing date for the special election, which has to take place, as I understand it, on the 11th Tuesday after the vacancy. So the 11th Tuesday after April the 30th, a special election would have to be held, but the filing deadlines for a primary, since it's a partisan office, that's going to have to occur pretty quickly after April the 30th. So
right.
The You know, but even if the General Assembly passes legislation to abolish that office, mm-hmm. they're going to have to figure out as a part of that what to do with all of those functions.
Correct. And they've got some ideas, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, they'll split it up amongst the Treasurer's office, right. Among the Department of Administration, you know, right. Whoever. But as I ran into Justin Powell today, he's a former municipal official who works for the Department of Transportation. I think his title is Chief of Staff. He used to be their CFO.
I think so too.
Anyway, he and I were chatting as I ran into him, and I said something. Well, you know, the Treasurer said he'd be happy to take all those duties, and Justin said, well, yeah, he could. He can take a lot of them, but there's still a lot of internal controls and separation of duties.
Like checks and balances.
Separation of duties.
Between the comptroller
that you have to,
and
that
the
you
treasurer.
Have to have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that the treasurer wouldn't be able to take all of that stuff.
Right.
So, which is going to precipitate the need to split those duties amongst other officials. So
right.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But the General Assembly has got to figure all that out
before 30 April. Right. So. But that the time that it would have taken to debate a joint resolution to remove Mr. Ekstrom
is now gone.
So we're going to go straight to the
restructuring bill.
Right. That's exactly
what I'll call it.
And so also, Scott, what I also want to talk about is Senate Bill 414.
Mm-hmm.
That bill is the bill that that prohibits municipalities from regulating the flavors and ingredients of tobacco or vaping products.
Correct.
That bill, it also, before we talk about what the procedural part of this bill, tell me more about what it does and our position on it.
Well, it would preempt local governments from dictating flavors and ingredients of tobacco products or vaping products.
When you say that, are you talking about like Wintergreen, Long Cut, Kodiak?
No.
Are you talking about raspberry vape flavors or whatever?
So I sound like I know a lot more about dip than I do about vaping. If the city of Columbia City Council wanted to ban the use of bubblegum flavoring in vape products, this bill would prohibit them from doing that.
Okay.
The city of Columbia, the city council.
Right.
If the Woodruff City Council wanted to only allow for the sale of Wintergreen Copenhagen in the convenience stores in town, this bill would prevent that city council from doing it.
Wintergreen as opposed to?
Plain.
Right, another one. Okay.
Mr. Producer's laughing.
Right.
There's a plain Copenhagen. I assume Copenhagen's still a brand. I don't know. I never dipped.
I don't know, man.
I never dipped.
If the Woodruff City Council
were to propose such a thing, they would be ousted as quickly as they possibly could.
Right.
As an adopted son of Woodruff, we enjoy our Wintergreen Copenhagen.
Right.
So
it's good to know. Please don't hold that against Scott for saying that.
This bill, were it to pass, would prevent the cities from doing this.
And who have there been cities that have restricted ingredients?
No, none have done so in South Carolina, number one, and none that we are aware of have even attempted to do so. There are some cities across the state who have, you know, received information from the American Cancer Society and mm-hmm. other health-related advocacy groups saying, hey, these things are bad, you should consider doing this. But none have either done it or attempted to do it to this point. It has happened. This has happened in other states across the country, but not here in South Carolina.
And I know that there are some cities that have tried to move or restrict where these tobacco shops or vape shops can locate.
Well, they can do that now under mm-hmm. the law, and they would continue to be able to do that under Senate Bill 414 because that is something that we specifically negotiated with the proponents of this bill
to ensure
that municipal zoning authority would remain intact. And in fact, the bill affirms municipal authority to zone these businesses as the city council sees fit.
It also, Scott, I noticed it also has language in there that grandfathers in any ordinances that were passed before December of 2020, deals with flavorings or ingredients.
Well, actually, so yes, if you've passed an ordinance that's in effect that says something specific to these businesses, then you can do that. But and what that's referring to the city of Myrtle Beach. A number of years ago, the city of Myrtle Beach zoned out these businesses from their downtown business district.
Right.
Okay. Their family friendly mm-hmm. business district. They didn't prohibit the sale of these products in the city limits. They just said you can't sell them in this particular part of the city.
Right.
And so that language was included in the original bill, but we did not feel as though it was broad enough or covered everybody else.
Right. If they had not passed something.
So that's why we made sure, essentially two bites at the apple. Mm-hmm. You've got the one that's
grandfathering in and then
going forward. So,
So Senator Shane Massey, on Wednesday, he made the motion during the motion period, mm-hmm. which is when you can make motions to put a bill on special order.
Yeah.
To put Senate Bill 414. It's been contested by Senators McElveen,
Sin,
and
maybe Johnson.
There was a third senator, but so in order to pull the bill off of the contested calendar and give it an opportunity to be debated, unless the members take their name off, he made the motion to put the bill on special order. You have to have, who is it? Huh? I thought you were looking up.
No, I was. Okay. Yeah, I was looking at, but I can't see it. So.
I know it's McElveen.
McElveen, Sin, and somebody else.
Sheely, maybe?
I don't know.
Look that up for me in the meantime.
I'll find it while you're talking.
So he made the motion to put the bill on special order. You have to have 2/3. And it did not get the correct amount of votes to be placed on special order.
Yeah.
So that vote failed. So then he used to my knowledge, a very rarely used Senate rule 32B that allows a majority of senators to pull a bill off of the contested calendar and have it not on special order, but have a bill considered after special order.
Uncontested.
And on an uncontested basis.
Yeah.
And so that happened, and several members switched their votes to have the bill debated.
And
which I'll be honest, even if you're using the contested calendar as a way to stop a bill, we should always just go ahead and debate the bill on the merits of the bill.
Well, I mean, it is the deliberative body.
It is the deliberative body.
All right, so it's Kempson, McElveen, and Sin.
Okay,
yeah, Senator Kempson from Charleston.
Senator Kempson,
Marlon Kempson,
Senator McElveen from Stump Durham, Senator Sin from
Sandy
Charleston.
Sin also from Charleston. Yeah.
And so that's what's going on. So I feel like that we need to make sure our listeners know we're following this bill. We are working this bill.
Yeah.
But it does not. We have language in there that we negotiated two years ago.
Yes.
That make us feel comfortable about the preemption piece.
Just like with the other bill that we talked about, the medical cannabis, mm-hmm. it puts us at a neutral position on the bill.
Because we are protected.
We're protected. Our zoning authority is protected there. Okay. So, again, the rationale being that no one has proposed or attempted yet mm-hmm. to limit these products in mm-hmm. any way.
Right.
Particularly, that was the case when we negotiated this concession into the bill mm-hmm. 2 years ago now, when it was first introduced in 2021.
And a lot of the opponents of the bill, they don't like preemption, obviously, but they're also concerned about the increase in youth vaping.
Totally get it.
Because of the use of these flavors that they're using to lure.
But, I don't know that cities and towns get into these sorts of have traditionally gotten into these sorts of debates mm-hmm. at the local level. Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody wants to quibble with me and disagree, I'm happy to hear.
Listen, Paul Shoemaker, give him a call.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody, please correct me. But it's just not been something that our members have mentioned to us or spoken to us about anytime, including our regional advocacy meetings, where we're specifically soliciting from them the issues that they are concerned about.
Right.
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 So there's a plug for the regional advocacy meetings. If you got something on your mind, when we ask you,
Tell us.
In the fall, you need to tell us.
And that's not the only time. You can always tell us any time, but that is a good open forum where we're coming to you and just kind of hashing things out.
Helps us and you understand the temperature of the room and the issue.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
On that particular
issue. Because you can have a good, honest discussion with your colleagues, maybe with a different perspective.
Yeah.
Who have done something previously or tried something that did work or didn't work. And are you prepared to answer the trivia question?
Not yet.
Or you need a minute or two?
What happened? The alien property ownership bill was still on the agenda, on the calendar.
That's right. In special order. They did put that bill on special order.
Yes.
And they, yesterday, Wednesday, they gave it second reading, but as a motion that you can do in the Senate, you can hold all your amendments on third reading, because normally you don't do amendments on third reading, and you waive the 3/5 rule that it takes to amend on third. So they, reserving all rights to amend, and so that is what they are presumably working on today.
And the discussion revolved mostly around Chinese ownership of properties and businesses
five countries, I think, that
ones that are
Senator
named
Massey,
adversaries, right?
Yeah, Senator National. Massey mentioned in his opening remarks that we were not just a broad restriction of any foreign entity, but it was those five countries.
Right.
Interesting. And then there are people that are very passionate for this bill, and there are people that are very passionately against it.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that plays out. And
part of the discussion I heard yesterday, there's a lot of angst about the Chinese companies or Chinese affiliated companies that bought Smithfield Foods. Smithfield Foods, they sponsor Eric Almirola in the number 10 Ford Mustang.
I knew it. Here it came.
Good sponsor. They've been with him a good number of years. Yeah. But apparently, and I don't know if Tony Stewart knows this, the car owner, if he knows this.
It keeps going.
That Smithfield is owned by a Chinese affiliated company. But their money's green.
He does now. Because it's now on a worldwide podcast.
Their money's green, so that's all he cares about.
There you have it.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this as you were saying it. A lot of these issues that we talk about on the podcast and that we follow, they don't have anything to do with municipalities, or they have a very, borderline effect, or they don't have any effect. But we watch these debates because it shows the dynamic between senators. It shows you who is working with who and who supports what and who thinks what way. And it gives us insight into, future debates and how to work.
That is exactly right. Issues. And we were texting about that while Senator Davis was delivering his remarks
exactly
this morning.
Right. That's caused some relationship struggles.
Who's going to take offense to his remarks, and how might that offense be manifested by other members later on other bills that he may care about?
That's right.
So, but you know what? Senator Davis is a smart politician. He's already taken that into calculation, into consideration. And I think he felt like this. He feels passionately enough about the medical cannabis that it was worth whatever bridges he might not burn down, but certainly singe. How about that?
And speaking of bridges, you may have to travel over bridges to get to the eastern and the westernmost part.
A good number of bridges, yes.
Of these municipalities.
A lot of rivers you'd have to cross.
I'm going to have to start with, what is the westernmost municipality in South Carolina?
Can you tell me which county? I know which county it's located in.
Okay, well then if you know the county, then you know what I'm talking about.
Well, it has the word west in its name.
Does it?
Westminster, South Carolina.
All right. Yeah, you're right. Westminster, Mayor Brian Ramey and council doing great things in Westminster.
Home of the Apple Festival.
It extends, according to Mr. Producer's notes,
it
extends slightly further west than Walhalla.
I believe that. Yes.
How about that?
And Mr. Producer knows this because he took his straight edge and placed it against perpendicular to the map.
Maybe
there
a compass as well.
And saw.
And you know that the
That's the way I would have done it. I wouldn't have looked it up on the Google Maps and looked for the coordinates.
It's not pronounced Westminster.
No, it's Westminster.
Westminster.
There is no additional E or I between the N and the S.
All right, Scott, what is the easternmost municipality?
I think that's pretty easy. Everybody knows what that one is.
Oh, they do?
I don't know.
You tell me.
Isn't it North Myrtle Beach?
God, that is very correct.
Yes, of course it is.
The mouth of the Little River.
Yes.
Now, Little River is further east, but it is unincorporated.
Yes, it's north and east of downtown.
Let me tell you a little something about North Myrtle Beach. Oh. If you're going to bring up...
Now she's bringing up
if you're
going to
bring up NASCAR, I'm going to bring up Little League Baseball. We are traveling to North Myrtle Beach, the North Myrtle Beach Sports Complex.
Yeah, nice
for
facility.
For a baseball tournament next weekend for the 11U AAA Mavs, the Midlands Mavs, my son's baseball team. Mm-hmm. We are going to North Myrtle Beach to see how we fare against some teams from your area. We have been winning tournaments in this area. Now we're going to see how we do on the coast.
I wonder if the ski-by-wire facility is open there in North Myrtle Beach already this time of year. I wonder what time they open that.
I have no idea. All I know is that I'll be at a ballpark from sunup to sundown.
That ski-by-wire facility is real.
If anybody would like to host us or sponsor the team, we are certainly, I think there are 11 on the team. If you are interested in any of that, we will take it. Scott, anything else to close out the podcast this week?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head, Casey. I mean, it's been, as you said, it's been a slower week, but still interesting nonetheless.
It's going to be, next week will be fast and furious, I predict, for the next week and then the next week, because we are closing in on crossover, the last day where bills originate from their originating body need to pass. Or it is extremely difficult, not impossible, but it's more difficult to get those bills out.
Yeah.
So we're looking at probably a rough kind of 2 weeks before the 2 weeks before Easter.
And it'll settle in after Easter.
That's right.
When everybody comes back from Easter break, it'll settle in kind of to a routine like it was this week. Not super busy, but some work.
And then after that, we have, maybe 3-4 more weeks, and then we'll close out part of the 2023
exactly
legislative session. We hope we're not coming back every month from now until December, but history shows.
Yeah.
But we just hope so.
History has not been on our side the last couple of years,
not to get a for real break. Thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Be sure to follow the Municipal Association's podcasts on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Find the latest from the Municipal Association on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the Association's website, masc.sc.